anyone desperate for him today? Does anybody need him this morning? Amen. How many of y'all, when you got here, you were ready for church?
Lord bless you, Jesus.
When I say get ready for church, you know, in my house, we have three children, so we're trying to get everybody ready for church. Meaning get your teeth brushed, get your clothes on. Everything ready for church. That's my thing. Is everything ready to go? And do you know sometimes you can be ready for church but still not be ready for church? Amen? So when I ask how many of y'all ready for church, I know that sometimes when you come in here, you might be physically ready. You might have all your clothes on and you got your car, you've had your breakfast. But the question is, are you really ready for church? And when I say for church, not just a form and fashion of going through, are you ready to have an encounter with God? Amen? And sometimes, can I be honest? Do you know sometimes the preacher is not ready for church when he gets to church? Do y'all know that? Why? Because I'm so ready to get the kids ready for church. And sometimes you get distracted and you got a whole lot of stuff going on. And I just want to praise God for that time of worship. Do you know? Because sometimes you just got to sit there. Praise and worship is not something that we just kind of put in front of the service to get through. Every now and then, you got to linger a while. Amen? Because it might not come right away. First song might not get it, but there's something sometimes, and listen, and you might sing a song and sing it over and over again, and then at one point, God, something clicks in your spirit. The word of God clicks in your spirit. Amen? And every now and then, you got to linger, because I'm here to tell you, when I got here this morning, I wasn't ready for church. And Lord, sometimes you got to preach and you still ain't ready. Not that I'm not prepared, but I'm not ready. And your mind can be going all over the place. And I said, listen, when they said, I need thee, oh, I need thee. That's me this morning, amen. Anybody else need him? Really, for real, for real. If you really are desperate for him, just sing it not like it's a hymn that we're just trying to get through the sermon, but I want you to sing it like you really need him today. Have you, anybody, how many of y'all can't swim? Anybody can't swim? Okay, nobody. Anybody been pushed in a pool and you couldn't swim? And when you got pushed in the pool, I'll never forget this. When we were younger, I'll never forget this. There used to be Sister Yvonne Harris was here. And she used to work with the little kids. And she took us on a camping trip one time. And I don't know, Sister Olivia's not here, but her husband was with us when we were all about 10, 11, 12 years old. And her husband at the time couldn't swim. I hope you don't mind me saying this. And he got pushed in the pool, or he jumped in the pool, and it was deep. And I never forget seeing, as a little boy, watching my brother Ernest, he was flailing and calling and crying for help. Because why? He couldn't swim. What did he need? He needed what? And when you need saving, when you need help, you ain't just quiet about it. You're just not casual about it. And I don't know about you, but I need him today. So can we go through that again? And I want to see some folks who really are desperate for God to cry out to him. I don't know what you're in need of. You might be standing in need of financial miracle. You might be standing in need of healing in your marriage. You might be standing in need of healing in your body. But guess what? Everything that you need, he says, I am. He's a present God. I am. So if you're in need of it today, and we're in the presence of the one who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, in the presence of the one who holds all power in his hand, why don't you just tell him, God, I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Come on, sing like you're deaf every hour. Every hour I need. Come on, bless me now. Hallelujah. Come on, say it again. I need thee. What do you need today? I need oh, I need. Come on, every hour I need thee. Every moment, God. Every hour I need thee. Come on, bless me now. Oh, bless me now. I say, I come to thee. Dear God, we need you today. today. We're desperate for you right now. God, there's a number of us here. Somebody's desperate for direction, for a decision they have to make. Somebody's desperate for wisdom on how to raise their children. Somebody's desperate for, God, your provision in their financial life. Somebody's desperate for healing in their marriage. Somebody is desperate for deliverance from an addiction. God, some addiction to a lifestyle or a habit, God, that is not pleasing to you, God. If somebody is desperate and has tried all other kind of things that don't work, God, we come to say, we need you. Lord, we need you. Not just every hour, but every second of every day, God. We are desperate for you. We come to you, Lord. Come to nobody else, but come to you. We come to the source now. We ask that you'll provide for us, that you'll do great and mighty things that, Lord God, we have never known. You promised to do it. And God, we come to you, Lord, because you're a God who keeps his promises. Heavenly Father, we love you now. We come to you, Lord, because you promised that you will supply all of our needs according to your riches and glory. And you got a lot of riches, God. You own it all. So we come to you with every need, God, every habit, Lord God, every bad attitude. We need you to change us. We need you to provide for us today. For God, forgive us for not coming often enough. Forgive us, Lord God, for Lord God, trying to go to other places before we come to you. We ask that you open the eyes of our heart this morning so we can see you today, that we'll understand the breadth of your love, the height, the depth, the width of your love for us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can we applaud our King? Amen.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you.
Come on, ask him to do that this morning as we come to his word. Open the eyes of my heart, God. Show us your word, God, today. Show us what you would have us to do, God. Yes, God. I want to see you, Lord. Come on, see you high and lifted up. See you high and lifted up.
To see you high and lifted up.
That's why we're here this morning, God. Shining in the light of your
glory. Shining in the light of your glory.
Pour out your power in this place this morning, God. As we sing holy,
we sing holy, holy.
Come on, to see you high and lifted up, to see.
See you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love. As we sing holy, holy,
holy, holy, holy. God to show us his face this morning. Amen? As we come to his word. If you've got your copy of the scriptures, if you've got your smartphone or tablet, if you could turn to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. This morning is the last Sunday in the month of March, and we've been in a series called Uncensored. Real talk about love, sex, and relationships. And we've had a great time. We've had, over the last 4 weeks, we started off with Pastor Larry Page. He talked to us about being naked and unashamed from the book of Genesis. Then we talked in the second week on how to be a satisfied single. We talked about living single. That's one of the things that, you know, there's a lot of single folks in the church. And a lot of times, sometimes our single folks get overlooked. And we don't want that to happen here in Washington Christian Center. We want you to know that you are special and God's got a plan for you. And in fact, Guess what? Singleness is a gift from God. It's a blessing. You need to maximize right where you are. So we talked about being that satisfied single. And then the week after that, we talked about the fatal attraction. We came down the married folks street and we talked about how to avoid the affair. Don't take it for granted, but because the devil has got a fatal attraction, he wants to get you distracted. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10 that God will make a way of what? Escape with your temptation. So we talked about how to escape from that fatal attraction. And then last week, we talked about what? His needs and her needs. We talked about how to keep your tank full. We said that all of us, men and women, have an emotional tank. And as a husband, it's my job to keep my wife's tank full. And the way I keep her tank full is by understanding what her needs are and making sure that I'm putting all my effort forth to meet her needs and vice versa. So that's where we were last week. So we've talked about relationships from singleness, marriage, and all of these things, his and her, how we're different, the different needs. And today we're going to talk about the last relationship we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about love today. And the last and greatest relationship is God's relationship with us. So this morning what we're going to be talking about is this title, Real Love. Amen? And if you can look in 1 John chapter 4. And I'm going to read verses 7 through 10. This scripture, I don't think it's up on the screen. Some of the verses will be up later. But we're going to read 1 John 4, 7 through 10. It says, "Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins." Now, we talk about relationships and we talk about marriage and we talk about singleness. And the bottom line is marriage, listen, is a picture of what Christ's love is for the church. And this morning, if we want to understand love, we got to look at the author of love, whose very essence is love, and that is who? God himself. And in the passage, it says, this is real love. And what I want us to do this morning, I just wanted us on this last Sunday in March, to get a look at God's love for us. And, you know, sometimes when you preach, some sermons are instructive and they're giving us things to do. We gave you instructions on how to avoid the affair. We gave you instructions on how to be a satisfied single. But this morning, all I want to do is just give you some attributes of God's love and give you an opportunity just to worship God and cause it to endear you to him and empower you to go out and do what God will call you to do. Amen? And when we look at God's love, we always talk in 1 Corinthians. If you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that's called the love chapter. And in the Bible, when you look at love, the different words used for love, there's several different words used for love. You got eros, that is that erotic love. And then you have phileo, which is a brotherly love. And then you have what we call what? Agape. Agape is the God kind of love. And this morning, we're going to look at the God kind of love and his love for you. Is that okay? As you look at 1 John chapter 4, we want to look at verse 8. We want to look at verses 8 and 9 really quick. Look at verse 8 and 9. As we look and understand God's love for us, it says, "But anyone who does not love does not know God. Why? For God is love." The first thing I want you to know about God's love is God's love is not like my love. God's love is always on. God's love is always on. What do I mean? God is love this speaks of his very nature. His very nature is love. God's love is always on. There's a book called Relationships. I want to read this quote to you from this book called Relationships by Les and Leslie Perot. And in the book, it says, listen, consider the sun as an analogy when we talk about God and his love. Consider the sun as an analogy. The sun only shines just as God only loves. It is the nature of the sun to shine, to offer warmth and light. It is the nature of God to love. We are free to get away from the sun. We can lock ourselves in a dark room, but we do not keep the sun from shining just because we put ourselves in a place where it cannot reach us. So it is with God's love. We can reject it, but God keeps on loving us. no matter what our choices, God still loves. And because God loves us, a relationship with God is possible. Isn't that awesome? To know that God, listen, it doesn't matter. His love is always shining. No matter where I go, his love is always shining. Like you said, the sun is always shining. Even when it's dark here, it's shining somewhere else. And the beautiful thing about God's love, it's always on. No matter what I do, it's always on. And he said, listen, you can lock yourself outside of the sun's rays, but it doesn't stop the sun from shining. And you can reject God's love, but guess what? It does not negate the fact that God is still love. And he loves you even when you are even when you're rejecting him, he's loving you. Isn't that awesome? We're getting ready to head into Easter, and on the third Sunday of April is the Easter Sunday. And what a perfect picture when we think about Good Friday, that even when man was rejecting him, even when they were hanging him on the cross, guess what? He was in the process of loving. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. See, I'm here to tell you that God is love, and he made you, and you are the object of his love. He made you to love you. Do you know you were designed and created for his love? It doesn't matter. See, sometimes we look at God like he's this big principle in the sky. You know, when you mess up, the guy, he's ready to hit you with the ruler. And the fact of the matter is, listen, God, even when we mess up, he doesn't stop loving us. There are consequences because God is love, but also God is just. He has a standard. So listen, when I step outside of God's law, when I disobey God, he doesn't stop loving me. The consequences just accrue to me. Do you know how refreshing that is to know? That God's love is always on, even when I'm running from him. And the reason why that's encouraging, because today, you know what happens is, sometimes when we are disobeying, when we're rejecting God's love, we could keep running. That's what God wants you to know is, listen, I've never stopped loving you. It reminds me, and I've given this analogy, the prodigal son. That father never stopped loving that son, even though that son was rebelling. That father never stopped loving that son. And the passage, when you look at the passage, it indicates that the father was looking for that son to return every single day. And when that son returned, what the father did, looking for him, saw him a way off, he ran and hugged him and said, kill the fatted calf, put a new robe on him, because my son who was gone, my son who was dead is now alive. That's how God's love for you. It's always on. Even when you're in the process of rebelling, right now under the sound of my voice, there's somebody here who's walking in rebellion against God. And when you're walking in rebellion against God, what you want to do, we have a tendency to run away from God. And God wants you to know, listen, baby, I know I'm not stopped loving you. You can run to me. What I want you to do, now when you've fallen, I want you to run to me. Don't run away from me. I'm not looking for you to beat you down. I'm waiting for you to come back so I can heal the wounds. God, his love is always on. It says, why? That's his very nature. God is love. Now listen, just because God is love, then that doesn't mean he approves of everything that I do. His love is always on. That doesn't give me a license just to do what I want to do. Don't get it twisted. Like I said, there are consequences. He's got a standard. I still love you. Look at the children of Israel. He kept loving them. But he said, listen, I'm going to set before you life and death, blessings and curses, but you better choose life. And if you choose life, here's how my love is going to manifest itself. If you choose death, I'm trying to tell you, you're going to get beat down. Just because I'm holy. He's love, but he's also holy. I can't tolerate sin. So here today, you got to know that what God, if you're sitting there, God is not angry with you. He loves you, and the consequences are on you so that you can return to him. God's love is always on. The second aspect of God's love this morning is number two is this: God's love was given to you sacrificially. God's love gives a sacrifice. How do I know? If we look in the Bible in 1 John, it's right here in our passage, 1 John chapter 4. Look at verse 9. Look at verse 9 and 10. It says, God showed how much he loved us by how? Sending his only son into the world, so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. It's not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. See, God's love, his love, listen, what did he do? He laid down his life. John chapter 15 said, greater love has no man than this, than a man would do what? Lay down his life for a friend. God's love was given to you sacrificially. How do we know? God made you to love you this morning. He designed you to be in relationship with you. He created you to live with him eternally forever. That's why the Bible says God has placed eternity into the hearts of men. You were made to be in eternal relationship with God. But guess what? Part of God's love is he gave you a free will. Because listen, it's not really love if I make you love me. Yeah, I don't want my wife to love me just because I'm making her. I don't want her to stay with me because I make her stay with me. I don't want to just lock her in a house and she can't leave. I'm not trying to do the R. Kelly thing, just lock my wife up. I'm sorry. I just couldn't resist it. But see, what the thing is, love gives you a free will. He gave us a free will to choose him, but in that free will, we didn't choose him. Man didn't choose him. Man chose his own way. And what happened, there was a gulf between us and God. And God's love said, just because there's a gulf, that his love keeps pursuing you. His love ran after you. He said, they messed up, but I'm not stopping loving them. I still want a relationship with them. And the only way for that relationship to be had is there got to be a blood sacrifice made. So what love, God's love, this is his love. His love gives a sacrifice. A sacrifice means something, somebody has to die. And God said the only way that this can happen is it has to be a perfect sacrifice. Do you know what a sacrifice it is for God to put on flesh and walk among us? Do you know what a sacrifice it is for him to step out of eternity into time and be tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin? Do you know what a sacrifice it is for the one who hung the stars in space to lay and be born in a manger? And not only that, then to grow up knowing, you know what a sacrifice, we talk about the sacrifice on the cross. What a sacrifice it is to live 33 years knowing that somebody's going to kill you. He was born to die. That's love. That's love. That's what we see it on Easter. They hung him high. They stretched him wide. He hung his head. And for me, he died. Boy, the sacrifice is powerful. It is not like that happened by accident. Jesus had to live and walk for 33 years of his life. Do you know what it would be like as a teenager? Am I teenagers in here? Anybody's a teenager in here? If you're in your early 20s, what would it be like to know you got to go to school knowing that I got 10 years left and I'm going to die a brutal death and I'm doing it all for these people around me? His love gave a sacrifice. Greater love has no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for a friend. That's the kind of love our God has for us. And when you understand that kind of love, how is it that we could take it lightly? You know, God, I've been praying this week, and I was praying this morning, God, help me to get a real handle on your love for me. The magnitude of the sacrifice. Do you know we're here in this Easter time and then we have Christmas coming and we know we tell the world it's a ritual, but do you know it becomes a ritual in the church? We keep doing Easter and everything, but you know what? When you really think about his love, it ought to make you weep every single morning. When I think about how brutal a death he had to die for me, how much blood loss and how painful that whip was, how painful that metal going into his flesh was, that's love. When I understand that love, it goes to Titus chapter 2, for the grace of God that brings salvation appears to all men. And what does it do? Once you understand that grace and that love, it causes us to live a different lifestyle. His love is always on. His love, his very nature is love. That's good for you to know. You got to know that you serve a God who's always loving. But his love also was given to you sacrificially. He paid a price. We've been talking about relationship with 1 Corinthians chapter 6. He said, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? And guess what? He paid a sacrifice. He paid a high price to purchase your redemption. Agape love. God's love is always on. God's love was given to you sacrificially. But the third attribute of his love this morning, God's love, guess what? It's absolutely unconditional. His love is absolutely unconditional. What do I mean? You didn't do anything to deserve it. You didn't have to do anything to earn his love. Romans chapter 5. You can turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. It says, if you go down to verse 8, verse 6. It says, when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, no one is likely to die for a good person, though someone might be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while what? We were still sinners. It's absolutely unconditional. You know, it's just like our kids. You know, we give them gifts. It's always, you know, our kids, you look at them and they just don't get unconditional love. Because, you know, they get gifts, they get presents, they get all of this stuff. And they have to do nothing to earn it. In fact, they do a whole lot of stuff sometimes to not get it. And sometimes I was riding the other day. I was taking the kids home, and I was taking one of them to practice. And I started thinking to myself, what am I doing? This child has not done anything I have asked him to do. And guess what? I'm still giving him stuff. I'm still giving him stuff. But as his father, guess what? My love for him, I love him unconditionally. And God's love for us is even greater than that. Now, and my love is not always, sometimes my, part of my love need to show him, no, I'm not going to give you this. But God's love for us is this, listen, you don't have to do anything to earn it. You don't have to do anything to earn it. You can't earn it. You can't work. We said, listen, while we were still sinners, the Bible says, while we were utterly what? Helpless. At just the right time, Christ died for us. It's not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to his what? Mercy, he saved us. Ephesians 2, for by grace you have been saved through faith, not as a result of works, lest any man should what? Boast. God's love is absolutely unconditional. You can't earn it. And what that means is because you can't earn it, you can't lose it. That's a good thing right there. You know, because sometimes there are some places where you go, they'll teach you that your salvation can be lost. How am I going to lose something I ain't earned? How am I going to lose something that was just given to me without condition? It's absolutely unconditional. God's love, I'm so thankful, is not based on my performance. It's not based on my performance. You know, on my job, we get bonuses based on performance. And sometimes if you got this done, that done, that done, guess what? You're going to bonus check. Anybody's job give you bonus checks based on performance? Aren't you glad that God has given us a bonus that ain't based on my performance? Because if it was based on my performance, guess what? I would never get the bonus. Amen. Even when you're trying to be good, guess what? Listen, because we are born in sin and shaped in iniquity, my very nature is a nature of rebellion. And the thing about the law is once you break one, you've broken all of them. So I will be in a terrible fix if it was based on my performance. God loves you in spite of what you do. You ought to thank God for that this morning. I'm here to tell you because there's somebody this morning, you feel distant from God because of your sin. And yes, sin does separate. But guess what? It ain't God who's gone nowhere. He hasn't gone anywhere. He stayed right there. That prodigal son, that father didn't move. He didn't say, oh, he messed up. We gone. Guess what? When he come back, ain't nobody going to be here. The father, not only was he there, he said every day he went looking, hoping that son would come back home. God's love for me is unconditional. And I'm here to tell you today, if you're feeling distant from God, if you've withdrawn from God because of your sin, I'm here to let you know that he loves you. His mercy is new every morning. Great is your faith. Do you know how refreshing that is? Because I need it new every morning. I don't know about y'all, but I mess up every single day. Multiple times a day. Anybody else with me? Please help me feel like I'm not by myself. And so, I'll be honest, I fight that thing. I don't know about you, but when you drop the ball, you fight that. Lord, you know, I'm not a good Christian today. You know, you feel, anybody ever felt that weight, like, man, the weight of your rebellion? You ask God to forgive you, but still you're acting like, Lord, like you still did it. And God's saying, no, you don't get it, bruh. I'm not like you. I don't react like you. Listen, when I say, listen, I will take it and I will remember your sins no more, that my sin for you, my love for you, I knew you were going to mess up before you messed up. I'm not disappointed in you. How can you disappoint an all-knowing God? Disappointment means that you, listen, you fell short of my expectations. He already knew what to expect, so he already knows what's coming. He knows the end from the beginning. So what he said, listen, you dropped it. Now what do I want you to do? The righteous man, he keep falling, but what does he do? He gets back up. You get back up, and guess what? You can walk today, and God ain't looking at you cross-eyed like, see, listen, like you got one more chance. No, guess what? His mercy, when he said it's new every morning, today he's giving you a clean slate. It ain't about what you did yesterday. He's fresh. It's an absolute unconditional. He said, listen, you were helpless, man. And guess what? I want you to know you're still helpless. You're helpless every single day. And my love for you never, ever stops. You know, when somebody loves you like that, you know what it causes you to do? When you know somebody loves you like that, do you want to go and say, oh, okay, I can treat them anyway. Oh, they're going to love me anyway. When you really have received love like that, it does not lead you to take that love for granted. It makes you want to live up to the level of their love. So when somebody's loving me like that, treat me like that, so the least I can do is give him my best, because he loves me unconditionally. Love, God's love is always on. God's love gives sacrificially. God's love, thank you, brother. God's love is absolutely unconditional. But not only is his love unconditional, but God's love is also powerful and persevering. It's powerful and persevering. Romans chapter 8, verse 38 through 39. It says, I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from his love. Death can't. Life can't. The angels can't. The demons can't. Our fears for today, our worries about tomorrow, even the powers of hell can't keep God's love away. Whether we are high above the sky or in the deepest ocean, nothing in all creation will ever, ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Point blank, period, end of story. Nothing can separate you from his love. Your bad habits can't. Your nasty attitude can't. Let nothing, and he said, listen, his love is powerful. Listen, nothing can usurp his love. And not only that, it persists, it lasts, it's everlasting. It's unconditional, it's not based on your performance, and guess what? It never runs out. Isn't that some good stuff? It just keeps on going. But the Energizer Bunny just keeps on going and going and going. Y'all remember that? That's how God's love is for you. It's powerful. And it's persevering. The Bible says perfect love does what? Casts out fear. That's power. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of what? Power of and a sound mind. His love is powerful and it lasts forever. That's encouraging to know, y'all. That there's nothing in this life, nothing can happen in this life that will ever separate you from his love. That ought to make you worship every single morning. When I recognize, and guess what, that I am the object of his love. Not everything, not the angels, but me. I'm the apple of his eye. And his love is all powerful. It's powerful, listen, that calls me and it moves me to walk and obey him. We serve a God who's got a powerful, never-ending, everlasting love for you. My question is, how does that make you feel? When you meditate, how often do you meditate on his love? We say, God, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. We know it, like the back of our hands. We know it. But how often do we sit and we pause and reflect on what that means? That God, that your nature is love. You can do nothing but love. I heard what Pastor Judah Smith said, God is in love with bad people. He's in love with sick people. His nature is love. That your love calls you to lay down your life for me. It gave sacrificially. God made him who knew no sin to be made sin for us, that we might become the very righteousness of God. It's absolutely unconditional. I can never do anything to earn it, and I can never do anything for it to lead to, for it to go away. And that his love is powerful, and it persists day after day, moment by moment. His love is powerful and persistent. Now, the next thing is, when I reflect on that love, when I've been a recipient of that love, it ought to do something in me. See, because when you've received that kind of love, there is nothing. When you see kids who've been loved, they're loving kids. You know, I just know, having my wife and I having been foster parents and now have adopted two children, you can see what love does to somebody. Because I could tell you, y'all, some of y'all have witnessed our journey. We took two lovely children in who had not been in a loving environment. They had not been in a loving environment. And when they first came in, guess what? They had to, they kicked and they rebelled against that love because they didn't know what it looked like. But do you know love will transform you? Love will transform you. We had this little child, 1 or 2 years old. You couldn't hug him. He didn't want you to hug him. Now he's jumping all on you, want to hug, lay on your lap and lay on you. Guess why? Because love transforms. So what the next thing that I want you to know, once you've been recipient of that love, you know what it does for you? It encourages you. I'll never forget when he was with Andrew. I love it because when he was around love and seeing us pray and talk to God this morning on our way to church this morning, on our way to church, and we do this every single morning. I get in the car, say, Andrew, you want to start us off? He said, Dear Heavenly Father, he's starting praying. He's praying for people. And I'll never forget, we get in the car, and he see an ambulance. Every time he see an ambulance, he said, Daddy, pray for them. Pray for them. Because what? Love transforms you. When you've received love, now you want to do what? Give love away. The last thing that what God's love does, I said that God's love is always on. God's love is given sacrificially. God's love is absolutely unconditional. God's love is powerful and persistent. But the final thing, God's love encourages you to love others. Not only encourages you, but you can also write, it equips you. Because now I've been a recipient of his love. It's not my love that I'm giving out. I'm giving his love. Because what does Paul say? It's the love of Christ that compels me. The love of Christ constrains me. The love of Christ pushes me on. It's not my love for Christ. It is his love for me that drives me to do what I do. Because now, having been a recipient of his love, I'm not giving my love away because my love is faulty. But I'm giving his love away. When you love, it encourages you to love others. The book of Jude. The book of Jude 21 through 23, the first part of verse 23, says, live in such a way that God's love can bless you as you wait for the eternal life that our Lord Jesus Christ in his mercy is going to give you. Show mercy to those whose faith is wavering. Rescue others by snatching them from the flames of judgment. Having received his love, you know what you want to do? Lord, show me how I can show somebody else how they can have this unconditional love. There's somebody who knows you, who's accepting you, whose faith is wavering. God, let me show them your love. Let me tell, they're waiting for somebody to know that you love them unconditionally. Let me show the love of Christ. There's somebody that I know in my neighborhood, in my family, who's never known Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. God, help me to show them your love so that they can be snatched out of the flames of judgment. That's what God's love does. His agape love, when you are a recipient of it, you know what you ought to do? Boy, you ought to have a weight and a burden on you to share that love. Man, you know, I'm going to tell you, this was impressed upon me this week in a heavy way. My wife can tell you. On Thursday night, God just put a weight on me. I mean, Thursday afternoon, morning at work, I was in my office. I told her, honey, I can't come out of here. I'm crying. I just kept crying. I couldn't stop crying because God just convicted me. He said, listen, having been a recipient of his love, I had a lot of things I was worried about. Things about, you know, God providing for my family. Because I'm some of you don't know, and I shared it, that I'm preparing to make a move of faith. I'm prepared to step out on nothing and see what God will do. And I'm going to tell y'all, sometimes when I was preparing to make this move, and I'm thinking, Lord God, you know, is the church going to be able to provide for me and my family if I make this move? Because I'm leaving a job that's paid me okay. And I'm going to step out and do what you call me to do. And God put this on me. I couldn't come out of that room. He said, you worry about my kingdom, I'll take care of your family. You worry about my kingdom, I'll take care of your family. And I was worried about all this stuff. And having received his love, he said, how can you be worried about putting yourself in a better position to take care of your family? He said, listen, if I provided for the lilies of the field, won't I clothe you? And having received his love, what does it do? It encourages me to love on somebody else. God was putting in my heart, he put Isaiah 61 on me. He said, now listen, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. And I have anointed you to preach the good news to the poor. And I said, God, you got us in this neighborhood. And somebody has just shared with me, you know, y'all are in a declining area. Y'all are in a declining area. You know, your ministry might flourish better if you move it from a declining area to an area that is more upwardly mobile. And I sat in that room and I started crying. I said, Jesus never went to the upwardly mobile area. Jesus went by the pool of Bethesda where the people couldn't walk. He went to where disease was. The love of Christ compels me. What does it do? It encourages me to stay and preach to others who never heard the good news. To preach to others who are less fortunate. You know, something, God just put this on me. When you have received his love, sometimes you've been sat on it so long, you've forgotten the magnitude of his love for you. But when you reflect, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, not only does my soul shout hallelujah, see, that become a cliche. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, you know what it does? It gets me up out of my seat. Not raising my hands and shouting, it gets me out of my seat and helps me get in the life of somebody else. Because he's been so good to me. Listen, what do you know that he has now called us to be his ambassadors. 2 Corinthians says, it is though he is making his appeal through us. Why? Because now his love has been what? Shed abroad in our hearts. What we talked about this morning, these 5 points, what do they spell? Agape. Agape. His love is always on. His love was given to you and I sacrificially. He laid down his life. His love is absolutely unconditional. You can never do anything to earn it, and you can't do enough bad for him to take it away. His love is powerful, and it perseveres. And when you've received it, what does it do? It encourages you, and it equips you to go out and love somebody else. We're talking about love, sex, relationships. Today, we wanted to end with the greatest relationship ever. The greatest relationship ever is God's relationship to us. And he wants a relationship with all of us. As much as I love my wife and as happily married as I am, and I am a happily married man, I thank God every day for her. But guess what? Her love for me can never be what God's love for me is. God, listen, I can disappoint her. She can get disappointed. Do you know it is possible in our humanness that I mess up so bad that she say, boy, bye. I'm just here to tell you. She already told me so. You can act crazy if you want to. But I'm here to tell you, listen, did you know what? I serve a God that guess what? If I step out on, in fact, all of us have stepped out on God. Some of us step out on him on a daily basis. And guess what? When I on him. He don't shut the door behind me. Guess what? He said, listen, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Boy, that's a love that's unbelievable. So we wanted to close today about his uncensored, unconditional love. And there's some of us here today who've received that love. But you may, there's somebody else today who may not have received this love. We want to give you an opportunity to do that. So we head into a very, very powerful season, our Easter season, where we remember what Christ did for us on the cross. I want you to hear today, if you've never come to receive his love for you, I want you to know that he's all in on you. He loves you, that he made you and he designed you and he created you to love you. The God of the universe had you in mind. The Bible says he shaped us and formed us in his own image. And he wants you desperately. He wants an intimate relationship with you desperately. He wants to be able to lead and guide you and just care for you. But the problem is that we are separated. All of us are separated from God because of our sins. But the story of God's love is how he made to fix that. His love said, listen, I know they're separated from me because of their sins. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to give a sacrifice. Matter of fact, I'm going to be the sacrifice to pay for their sins. And all that you got to do in order to be back in that relationship with God, in order for you to receive his love, because remember I said his love is always shining. But the question is, have you rejected it? Have you shut yourself off from it? All you got to do is open the door and open yourself up to the shining light of his love. All you got to do is admit that, God, I'm imperfect. I know I'm a sinner. Bible calls it sin. Sin just simply means to fall short of God's standard. You just got to admit to God, God, I've sinned. I've fallen short. And then you got to believe that God made a solution to pay for your sins. That he was the solution. You got to believe that God sent his son, Jesus Christ, that he was born of a virgin, that he lived, that he died on a cross, and that he was buried, and that he rose again to make you right with God. You got to believe that in your heart. And then you got to make a conscious decision to ask him, God, I want you to come into my life, take my sin, and give me your righteousness and perfection. And he says, if you do that, I will give you eternal life and you'll never perish. It's called the Great Exchange. If we all could stand to our feet. If you're here today and you've never received this love, we want to give you an opportunity to do that this morning. If you could bow your heads and close your eyes all across this room, everywhere. If you're watching online, guess what? He loves you. Wherever you are, I'm here to let you know that God loves you with an unconditional love and he wants a personal relationship with you. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And if you want to receive this love for the first time and become a child of God and to have the assurance that you will live forever with him in heaven, if you want that certainty and that assurance, I want you silently to repeat this after me. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Say to yourself, dear God, I admit that I am a sinner separated from you. And Lord, I believe that you sent your son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for me. I believe that he was buried. I believe that he rose again. And today, I make the decision to invite Christ into my life, to forgive me of all of my sins, give me his righteous perfection, and make me the person that you want me to be. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. If that prayer expressed the desire of your heart and you would like to have Jesus as Lord of your life, could you raise your hand right where you are? Is there one who prayed that prayer? Say, Pastor Duane, listen, that's me. I'd like to receive Christ as my Savior today. and compel them to love others. We thank you. If you're here and you said, listen, Pastor, I don't want prayer. I need prayer for just to be a, to show more love to others and to make, demonstrate God's love in my life to those around me. Could you pray for me? There's some people in my life that are hard to love, but God, guess what? You're calling me to love them anyway. And you just want prayer this morning for God to just equip you, empower you to show his love so that he can bring more people into the kingdom. I'm going to ask Justin to sing for us. But at this time, the altar is open. If you just want to come for prayer this time, the altar is open for you to come for prayer. Amen.
He is jealous for me.
Feel free to come. Amen.
His love's like a hurricane.